Welcome to the Michael Yu Podcast. We have a very special guest. We have the Queen with us today, Queen V, Vivian Yu from Oakland Realty in our office. Welcome, Queen V.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate having you on the pod today. Why don't you just get started by telling us a little bit about yourself and your story into real estate?
Sure, yeah. So I graduated university and I had a degree in marketing and international business. Didn't really know where to go from there. Did a little bit of a few odd jobs here and there. Found myself doing marketing and ended up really finding it quite boring. Okay. And then I jumped into banking. And at that point in time, they were encouraging employees to do further education as kind of an employee, I guess, retention program. Mm-hmm. And I found myself going to real estate instead of finance to get to know the field a little bit better, because all we did was commercial lending.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, got to do with houses and buildings and stuff.
Right.
So let's try that and let's learn that. And once I got into it, I found out that I liked it so much better.
Yeah.
So that's how I ventured into real estate.
Were you still working at the bank when you got your license?
I did, okay. Yes. So, you know, I hope they never listen to this, but I literally would finish everything I had to do for the bank that very day, and then I would hide all my study material below my checklist of things to do.
Oh, wow.
So I would just study the entire time through on the bank's dime.
Right.
So yeah, I got my license within 3 months.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And you started off as a very young realtor, right? How old were you when you got started?
I was 22.
Wow.
No, 23. Yes, 23.
Yeah, 23 years old getting started in real estate. Now, how was the first year?
The first year, well, actually, I didn't have many expectations for the first year. I was quite scared. But the first year turned out to be quite good. I think I did 14 in half a year. And yeah, I really loved it. And it was all with your guidance, Mike.
Well, just offer a bit of context. So Vivian was one of our very first brand new realtors that ever worked with Oakland. So she's been with our company for the last 5 years now.
Yeah.
Right? Can you imagine 5 years?
Yeah. It's been a long time, actually.
Yeah, and it's, you know, so she was one of the very first brand new agents that we started working with in our old office. And we thought it would be really fun to share some old stories with Viv and also to learn a lot of her secrets, because Vivian is kind of what we call a career agent. So basically almost right out of university, started as a realtor instead of transitioning from something else. So like, obviously, what sparked your interest about being a realtor or?
I really liked the idea that you could be self-employed and manage your own schedule and work with people you actually wanted to work with. So in the bank, as with, you know, most of the other jobs, you really don't have a choice with who you have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's whoever comes your way.
Right.
But in this industry, you can really help the people you really want to help. And everyone kind of finds their niche in that as well. So that's essentially what really drew me to real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And you get out of it as much as you put in, is what I noticed.
Hmm.
Well, you also told me that, so it's not much noticing.
Yeah.
But that's how it ended up.
You know, Vivian was just getting started and seeing her, you know, just in her career. And we'll talk a lot about kind of her story and where her background and where she comes from, but she might have been the hardest working agent that I've ever worked with when I first got started. Like morning, night, weird calls, and just like different clients and stuff like that. Because obviously, as kind of someone young getting started, you didn't really have a huge network to kind of fall back on, right? Is that right?
No, not at all. Because my parents aren't from here either, so I didn't have the whole like rental network.
Right.
And my friends were all young because we just graduated university and started our jobs. So there's literally no network that you can tap into and be like, yep, I have friends that have money. There was none of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did you find your first clients?
My first clients, you know what, I really have to give props to Samantha Kwong from Oakland. She took me under her wing and she's like, you know what, I don't speak Mandarin and you do. let's tackle this client together. Let's help her sell and let's help her buy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, wow. Like, she'll have me join her. That's right. So great. And then we ended up closing those clients, and that kind of pretty much got me started. And I was able to shadow her,
mm-hmm.
learn, and just be that much more comfortable in the future going forward with my own clients. So
yeah.
Samantha was one of my first, I guess, mentors, and to this day, she's still like such a wonderful person to have around.
Sam is amazing. So Sam was Vivian was maybe third or fourth new realtor in our office. Like, Sam was the first new realtor in our office.
Yeah.
And we started with her from ground zero, obviously, same with Viv. And, you know, such a kind and warm person, and just such an open and sharing person. I guess she kind of showed you the ropes.
She did. Yeah. And she was so nice about everything. She's like, this is how you do this. You know, you can do it that way, but I do it this way. Just see what works for you. So she really gave me a lot of insight into the world of real estate.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you, after getting that first, first taste of it, did you know you loved it right away, or did that, like...
I did. It was still, like, a very new concept to me.
Right.
And it did require a lot of self-discipline as well, because you're essentially self-employed. You can work from anywhere, from home, from the office, from a coffee shop, from, you know, anywhere. And you had to have a lot of self-discipline not to fall asleep on your bed, for example, if you're working from home, or... go chit chat with other people when you're in the office.
Right.
Like, you really had to buckle down, but that was also a very kind of cool and new concept.
Right.
So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of agents, they think, you know, when they get started, they believe that, you know, they have all this free time and all this of that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you find that as,
goodness, not at all.
Right.
No, I thought you would have free time. Okay, well, in the morning I could do this, and, you know, at night I could do that,
right.
and I could have, you know, I could finally get in shape. No. No. You get into worse shape.
That's right. Did you, in my first year of real estate, I gained about 25 pounds.
Oh my God,
I don't know, but were you the same? Like, you're just eating McDonald's all the time.
Yeah, or like gas station burritos.
Yeah.
You don't have time to stop, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So always go, go, go. But no, I haven't shed the 25.
Yeah, right.
Have you?
No, I haven't. I keep like making that a goal for myself every year, because I haven't seen the south end of 200 pounds in like a long time, and I'm always like, okay, this year is the year I'm getting to 190. Like, this is the year.
Yeah.
And like, you can hire personal trainers, food delivery services, but you know, if you're addicted to food, you're addicted.
Yeah, it's so, over. It's over.
That's really good. So obviously, getting started, you started fairly strong right out of the gate. So what was some of the, you know, the things that you did to be able to deliver those results right away?
Well, I followed your advice.
Okay.
I planted a lot of seeds, I flagged buildings, I farmed, I door knocked ish. I did social media, and I just tried to be consistent in what I was doing after a while.
Right.
And I tried everything. You know, I didn't just stick to one thing, but I tried everything, seeing, okay, what would land, what would stick, and what is going forward, what will I want to continue doing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just a lot of trial and error in the very beginning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you find was the most effective method for you to be able to acquire business right in the first year of your career?
So it ended up being referrals.
Mm-hmm.
So my business is mostly coming from clients introducing other clients,
right,
or friends introducing their friends. And what worked best for me is really, to this day, it's still true, is getting in front of people.
Right.
If it's on the phone, I suck. Like, it's terrible. Cold calling is not my thing, but getting in front of people, sitting down with them, and then kind of building that rapport from there.
Yeah.
That really.
Yeah. That's a big thing. So connecting with, connecting through relationships, I think is something that a lot of new agents kind of shy away from, because it's so comforting and safe to hide behind your computer and to just, you know, and to just do your research or read a book or something like that.
Yeah.
But actually getting out there and like doing, you know, booking those appointments, meeting all those people, I guess that really kind of led to a lot of business for you, right?
It did, because it is a relationship business in the end. Mm-hmm. Everything is about connecting people,
right.
and you will have to meet them eventually. Mm-hmm. When you're gonna sell their home or help them find a home, right? So in the end, you're gonna have to do it. So you might as well just start off trying to meet them right off the bat,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
before they go somewhere else.
Yeah. So, what did you learn? You know, so obviously that was your first year in the business. So first 6 months, that's really great. You know, the average real estate agent in Vancouver, I think, sells 4 properties on average, the entire board, when we average it out.
Isn't it 5.5?
Or is it 5.5?
Well, it was for when I first started.
Right, it was 5.5 when you first started. Now, because of the more agents that are in the industry.
Now it's 4.
Yeah, so I think when you started, there was probably like about 8,000 or 9,000 realtors.
Really, that's
then,
it?
Yeah, and then now it's about 14,000 in our board. So it's just, there's been like a huge spike in the number of agents that are in the market. She just whispered gross. And so there's you know, 5.5 or 5 is kind of 5 sales is kind of the average.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, obviously you bucked that average being a new realtor. So obviously through the consistent approach and booking those appointments and stuff like that, what would you say, you know, after your first year and transitioning out of your first year, a lot of people think, like when I was getting started, an agent in our office, which is a different kind of environment, a different type of people were in the office.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him saying to another agent that I could overhear him, like, oh, many people get lucky in their first year. They cannot continue it. I've seen like so many people do really well the first year and then fail for many, many years afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have that fear?
I did, yeah. So I felt like every year thereafter I had to prove myself to do better. I'm like, oh my God, show me that my first year wasn't a fluke.
Right.
And I remember talking to Jordan Ross, another Oakland agent, who also like killed his first year.
Right.
We're both sitting down and kind of talking about experience. We're just like, okay, we should really, really do well in our second year because we don't want the first year just to be kind of a fluke and...
Mm-hmm.
Exactly for what that agent said,
right?
Really,
yeah,
you know, get lucky, so
yeah,
to say.
Right.
So we worked extra hard in our second and third and fourth year,
right?
And now I know it's not a fluke,
yeah.
In my fifth year, now I understand.
Right. And you were, so after your full first year, you were a medallion realtor, right? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So Viv won the was in the top 10% of our industry since she essentially got started, and you've continued that essentially every year, right? So how many years is this now?
I think it's year 4.
Year 4. You made me so proud. I'm like tearing up. Because, you know, it's just so gratifying to see, you know, someone really change their life. And Viv really changed her life, you know, since I've met her. She's really transformed quite a bit. So why don't you share a little bit about, you know, even before real estate, like your childhood, your background, and kind of, you know, that story.
Sure. Okay. Getting real personal here.
We're getting in deep.
Yeah. So my family, my mom and dad are not together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been me and my mom. And so growing up, you know, money wasn't in abundance,
right.
I guess. It was a little bit tight. And I started work full-time at the age of 16. I held 3 jobs and went to school full-time as well.
Right.
And I actually haven't stopped working since then.
Yeah.
And the majority of, I guess, the money, schooling money and everything was coming from my side as well.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of support from my dad, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, living with my mom who takes care of the household, there is not much extra money there. So I ended up working super hard to support my family. And before I got into real estate, you know, we were renting, we didn't have any property, we really lived on a budget.
Like month to month.
Month to month, yeah, making sure that okay, we don't overspend on things we don't need.
Right.
You know, we're going to budget accordingly. We're going to try to be frugal about things. And then after real estate, though, I was able to start buying my first property.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, be able to live a more comfortable lifestyle where I didn't have to see what the cheapest item on the menu is.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah. It's really, it's definitely changed, and my mom's pretty relaxed now as well.
Mm-hmm.
She still budgets because old habits die hard. And, right. you know, as any Asian person does,
right.
you should budget.
Yeah, for sure.
Regardless of how rich you become right. or how wealthy and how well you do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're nowhere near where I would want to be,
mm-hmm.
but it's definitely given us a more comfortable lifestyle so far.
So what's your relationship with your mom?
We're very close.
Yeah.
She is a mother,
right.
nonetheless. So, of course, you know, there's the constant nagging,
right.
but she means well. She means the best.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a very, very good relationship. I've got a very good relationship with both sides of my family.
Yeah.
Although my dad's, you know, not been around that much, we mm-hmm. still have a really good relationship.
Oh, that's great. You know, mm-hmm. just seeing that, you know, that shift, and it was such a, and it's right, old habits die hard. I'm still like, I don't know why, even when I pay the check.
Yeah.
You know, when I pay the check for lunch and stuff like that, I'm scared that my visa is gonna get declined. It just because like it got, I got like, I remember being like grocery shopping, and I had like, I didn't have a visa, I had a debit, and I would like pay for something, and then like it would get declined, and then I had to remove like a set of banana, and then like, and then it would get approved. And I'm like, oh, thank God. So, like back in those days, that's how dire it was. And I think like those old habits kind of really do die hard. But like just seeing that whole journey, you know, where you know you come from, and always being reminded of that, is that something that you still carry with you?
I think it's very important to remember where you come from. And like I said, I'm nowhere near where I want to be, but mm-hmm. when I do get there, it's not an if, it's a when. When right. I do get there, I'm still going to be the same person I am today, right. carry those values forward, and pass them on to my kids eventually.
Yeah.
When I have some. I
don't have any. Right. That's great, you know. And so who has been some of your, like, who have been some people that really influenced you? Obviously, Sam helped to guide you in your first, you know, in your first year of the business.
Yeah.
To get you through your first sale and to kind of like help you pop your cherry or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of weird.
Okay,
think.
Mike.
But whatever it was, you know, like I remember my first deal was it was just wrought with problems, but but yeah. So how about yourself? How do you learn the best? Is it through books? Is it through observation? Is it through other people, hearing stories? Like, what do you think?
It's through doing.
Right.
Yeah, I learn through practicing and mm-hmm. doing it over and over again. And each deal teaches you something else. There's
right.
never a deal that where you're just like, I know it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of impossible to know it all because of the ever-changing nature of real estate
right.
and the regulations, the government changes, the banking changes. So there's always something to learn, but I learn best by tackling it and then figuring it out from there. And if something goes wrong, I'll call Arlene.
For sure. Arlene's our managing broker here at the office, and my big sister, my annoying big sister.
No,
the
she's
old
not
stump.
Annoying. She is the best. She saved so many of my deals. I just called her yesterday.
Oh, yeah? It's really interesting, the relationship, because we've had a couple of the managing brokers. We had all the managing brokers. Arlene on the podcast, we've had Shelly, and we've had Eric on the podcast.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And the, you know, the relationship between an agent and their managing broker, can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, there is no boundaries. It's very, very close.
Right.
And then when you call them, you feel very guilty, because it's usually at like 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night,
right.
and she still picks up and she's like, what's up, Viv? And you know she's got two kids and
right.
a husband
yeah.
who are probably just like, what's going on? I mean, do you really need to do that right now? So it's a very close bond, but without her, I don't think I could have survived my first few years.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure. She saves me. butts.
Yeah.
Real estate butts.
Your nine lives like a cat.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you know, the relationship an agent has with a managing broker is such an important support system, I think, you know, you know, I've had a few different managing brokers, from people that were really hands-on to people that were very hands-off, and you know, I think it's something that's so important to, especially like an agent in their first 5 years or 6 years of their business. They really need that guidance to make sure they're doing everything right.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, so it's such a big and important thing. So you have a great relationship with my sister, obviously.
I do. She really has no choice.
Totally.
Speed dial.
So, yeah, speed dial is on the favorites, the first one, yeah. So that's really good. And I think, like, you know, when you're choosing, like, you know, an agent that chooses a brokerage, I think that's such an important thing to to have, right?
Yeah.
Because before you even started with Oakland, you interviewed a few different companies, right?
Yeah, I think I interviewed probably all of them.
Right.
Just to do my due diligence and to see where I fit in and what everyone's environment is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some manager brokers I came across that were very, very, very old.
Right.
And I was like, oh my goodness, they're going to go to sleep at 8.
Yeah.
Like, I won't be able to ask them questions, but I don't know how many questions I'll have.
Yeah.
And it just, you just didn't jive with them as well.
Right.
And then eventually, thanks to Wei, another, you know, open agent, he's the one who approached me after our, I think, class, that real estate, that two-day real estate course.
Yep.
And he approached me as a stranger, and he goes, hey, you want to see my material? I was like, who is this guy? So he ends up, you know, taking out all his Oakwin, all the slideshows that you guys had, all the prep material, the Oakwin U University classes, all that stuff. And he goes, my brokerage is awesome. Look what they gave me. Look at all this information.
Right.
This is really good. You should join. And I was like, again, but now I'm more interested,
right?
So eventually I met with Hugh Morgan, and that's what got me to join.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a, you know, it's such a, I think it's important to do that as well. Like, if you are, you know, as an agent, you know, you're, the agency that you join is really important, because it helps to, you know, obviously provide the support and not the community and the environment in which you're going to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And also, obviously, like, hearing the other people's experience, I think, is really important that are in the brokerage.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, you know, everyone's a little bit different, but I think that that's, like, that's something that's really important, right?
Yeah. I remember when I first started, before I agreed to join.
Sure.
Because we were, you know, Oakland was pretty new, and I was pretty scared. I asked for references from other realtors, and
then
you guys happily gave those numbers to me. I happily called them, and I got nothing but positive reviews.
Right.
I'm like, okay, let's try this out. Can always leave, right? And I never left again.
No, 5 years later, it's like, it's pretty, it's a pretty amazing adventure. So obviously after the first year, and then into the second year, you made Medallion in the second year.
Mm.
And what is your business at now, and what, like, what are you tackling now?
Well, now I am going into, I guess, the Airbnb space a little bit more. So Adam and I, another Oakwin agent, you can see how this trend is, all Oakwin agents in my circle.
Right.
We are going to be focusing on Airbnb-friendly complexes in Vancouver.
Right.
And marketing in there, so we're just starting that off, so that's what I'm working on currently.
Oh wow. Okay.
And I'm also working on a pre-sale Simon site with Churn and Jeff Alby as well, so both Oakwin agents as well. with Churn's Oakwin marketing background, and then two agents from different facets too.
Sure.
I think pre-sale Simon's will be quite a good addition to the real estate world, because there's currently nowhere where you can post assignments.
Yeah. What's an assignment for those who don't know?
Well, an assignment is basically a pre-sale contract that someone had bought that they now want to sell before it's completed.
Right.
And there's, if the developer doesn't allow you to post it on MLS, which is for most developers, that's the case.
Yes.
You don't have a space to advertise that listing. So how do you sell it then? Right, there's really nowhere for you to sell it besides on Craigslist, and that's definitely not the best resource for any anything.
Yeah,
definitely not real estate, yeah. But, you know. So we created this website to facilitate it and to have a space for people to just post it.
That's a great idea. I think, you know, there's so much opportunity in that space because obviously for a variety of different reasons, someone that has purchased a pre-sale. So a pre-sale is a new home construction. Mm-hmm. Typically it's a condo or a townhouse project that, you know, will complete in 2 or 3 years after you put down your initial deposit.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, those have gone up in value and sellers are able to, or some of those initial buyers are able to sell them at potentially a profit or actually to break even or whatever it is, depending on their situation. And
yeah,
having a kind of a tool or a like helpful form or environment to be able to sell those is huge. I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You guys are gonna do super well there.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
And there's no one that's really predominantly doing it, right?
No. I think everyone's focusing on just being able to post assignments on their own websites, but there's no platform.
Right.
Or like a marketplace where everyone has it together.
Centralized. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. That's an awesome idea.
Thank you. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah,
but yeah, a little pet project of mine.
Yeah.
Now that my business is more stable,
they're
trying different avenues. And once again, it's still so
experimenting.
Yeah. Trial and error.
Yeah,
still
that's
happening.
Great. I like that. You know, have you, obviously, you do some research and stuff like that prior to, and I guess, especially with the Airbnb, you got to be really careful with that.
Yeah.
You know, with the, with all the rules and restrictions, and so you must have gotten very well versed into that kind of space.
Yeah, we're currently still trying to familiarize ourselves with the rules and make sure, you know, we know it down pat, and how to apply for a business license with Airbnb and what the fees are and
right.
And that. So there's a lot that you need to know, and we're still in the process of making sure we know it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I guess I hear so many of my clients are very interested in it. I always just
know
much about it. I'm like, no, just do long-term rental. Like, isn't it more like, don't you make more in Airbnb? I'm like,
I'm currently compiling like a list of what you can make from different areas in downtown.
Oh wow!
Through Airbnb.
Yeah.
It's the most tedious process ever.
Oh really? Yeah.
But I think it's very valuable data once you have it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's like such a, you know, it's interesting. Everywhere I go, I basically like, well, not me, but my team, my assistant will go on Airbnb and like find a space instead of doing the hotel thing, and it's like such a nice stay. Like it's so much better almost.
Yeah. It's more familiar. It's more homey, right? Yeah. I like
totally.
It too.
Yeah. So that's great. So like obviously branching into some different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Viv very, very well, and you just started working with with an assistant, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so how's that been coming along for you?
Well, it's been about a year, and my assistant is getting better by the day. She's she's really, really just the backbone of the business now.
Right.
And helping facilitate with the office and coordinating photography schedules and tour schedules. And I just got to take the papers and go on the tours.
Yeah,
so it's been very helpful.
Yeah. How does that change the business by kind of starting a little bit of a team?
Well, I started her off in the slowest part of the market last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually talking to you after.
Right.
Or after talking to you, I decided to do that because you were like, you know what? If it's slow, you have time to actually train someone.
Right.
And bring them up to speed, so when it gets busy, they are up to speed and
right.
they can help you run versus, training and finding someone then.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I ended up doing, and it really changed my business. It gave me more free time to prospect instead of fill out all those paperwork and all those communications with the office and with the board. You know, there are so many things you have to do now and have to comply to. So that's been a big stress reliever.
Right.
So now I'm able to just focus on talking to my clients, focus on taking them on tour and selling their homes. And it's given me personally a little bit more breathing room, which, you know, in this industry is very rare to find.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. You know, if you're in town, you're like running.
Yeah, pretty much. You know how you are supposed to be able to set your own schedule?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I always find it, you know, I meet a lot of new realtors, and if one of the first things they say, I want that work-life balance, I want to set my own schedule, I don't want people telling me what to do.
Yeah, like, good luck.
That's exactly the opposite of what it is. Yeah. Like, people are going to be telling you what to do all the time, and you don't have your own schedule and all the rest of it. So I guess there's parts of that.
Yeah.
You know, what I find for a lot of, and this is was a suggestion for, you know, working with Viv to, you know, I think a lot of people, I talked to so many top producing agents, and, you know, in some cases they've been doing it for 10 years or 20 years or even 30 years. And one of my kind of heroes that I did working in Richmond over the years, his name's Austin Kay. I don't know if you know him. He's on all the bus benches and stuff like that. So I had, like, I begged him for a coffee when I first got started.
Oh.
And then finally, after about a year or something like that, we were able to get together.
Oh, my God.
And I kept bugging him, like, every week. So if he's listening, he's not listening. He's too busy. But, like, I had a crush on this guy. Like, you know, he was just, like, my hero. He was a young realtor that doesn't speak, he's, like, Chinese like me, and he doesn't speak Mandarin or Cantonese. Mm-hmm. So he's very, like, quote-unquote whitewashed, just like me. And so I was like, this guy's my hero. And he's, like, the top agent in Richmond. So I asked him a lot of questions. I had all these questions prepared. I said, okay, I want to hear about your first 5 years in the business. And tell me, and I want to know your results. I want to know everything. Mm-hmm. And you did. And he said, well, my first year was bad. I sold, like, a few places. And I was like, and then second year I did a little bit better. I sold, you know, like 10 places.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year I sold, like, another 10 or 12, 13, 14 new places. And then the next year I sold 72 places. I was like, what? Like, what happened? And then he told me that it's because he hired an assistant.
Oh.
So he spent all the time, and, you know, so I find that, like, with a lot of agents, especially young, talented people, they don't want to take that little step and that little risk to do that. And so, you know, when I see an agent, you know, at a certain level for a few years,
mm-hmm.
and they hit certain income marks, you know, consistently over a couple, 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
there's kind of like this glass ceiling of how much work one person can do on their own.
Yeah.
And I find that it's, I don't know, in our marketplace in Vancouver, I find it's like 20 to 30 deals. You can do 20 to 30 on your own, but you're, like, super busy, but you can kind of do that
mm-hmm.
on your own. And then if you want to get to that next point, you'll need to have some help.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you will basically either go crazy, burn out completely.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about burnout a bit in the past in our private conversations.
Yeah.
So what was that like?
Well, burnouts are real. That's what I learned. When I used to hear other people say, oh, I really burn out there, I was like, no, you're just weak. Right. But I really take that back. So I'm sorry if I ever said that to anyone. No, but burnouts are quite real. And you don't, I guess there's different types of burnouts.
Right.
But you don't realize when one's hit up until it's too late, really.
What happened?
Well, I just got really exhausted in my third year. I remember in my third year all I did was work, and even on vacation, quote-unquote vacation, you don't really have vacations as a realtor. You just continue working, and you work on a different schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You're across the world, you wake up, you know, at like 2-3 a.m. their time and start working for 5 hours and then go back to bed. So I did that a little too much, I guess, and since then, it's been just consistently lethargic moments, and you feel unmotivated too,
right,
at one point or another. But you have to keep going because your clients depend on you, and you don't want to just slack off, and your reputation's everything. If you start slacking off, it's game over, and you start from nothing again. But I think I still feel some of that burnout to this day.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is it physical, emotional, mental, like what?
Yeah, it's a little bit of all three. Mm. I would say you definitely gain weight, and then your mind, you know, you're constantly tired, so you can't focus, and you don't really want to do what you should be doing. So that's when things don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get a little bit dangerous. They don't go so well. And then with that, the motivation goes, and emotionally you're just drained the entire time. You don't have much time for family and your friends, and you don't have, when you're with them, you're constantly tired.
Right.
So you're not present.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, burnouts are...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something.
So obviously it had some consequences in your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely.
So was that mostly like, I guess it's in your health and your relationships then, right?
Yeah. mostly just less, thankfully, my relationship's well kept, my clients all stayed, and my
right.
family is good. So not too much relationship for me, and it was more just mentally
mm-hmm.
exhausted all the time.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Not being able to advance your business forward, although you kind of want to, but you kind of don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So have you ever tried, like, meditation, or have you ever tried, like...
Well, I fall asleep. I haven't figured out how to do it correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just like, oh, it's another, you know, I'm closing, closing.
Right. She fell asleep on this table right in the middle of the podcast. You know, it's interesting because I had a talk with Alicia Sander from, you know, and she talked about meditation, and she does meditation every morning
mm-hmm.
And like kind of a mindful practice. I did for a little while, actually. It was, and you know, Viv knows my girlfriend Pri, who's mm-hmm. on the pod as well, and she's like this hippie, like spiritual type of like person, and so she's always talking about like mindfulness and meditation and, you know, breathing
yeah.
and stuff like that. Have you ever tried any of these types of things, like wellness type of stuff?
No. No, none of that.
Yeah.
I don't think I know where to start.
Okay.
Really. I listen to motivational, you know, videos, and that's
right.
as far as my mindfulness goes.
Well, that's
I
kind
count.
Of like, that's a, I don't know, I feel like that's a form of work, you know, and
is it? Okay.
Sometimes it's funny because, like, there's, you know, I know Viv quite well,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, in life, there's, like, these dualities,
mm-hmm.
right? Man and woman, you have black and white, you have lots, and there's, like, order and chaos.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, being an agent and having your own business can be chaotic. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's a good know. Word.
It can.
Yeah.
You know, there's order and there's chaos.
Yeah.
And some people really thrive in chaos. And they actually try to create chaos because they're used to it as a child. They're used to these things. Like I can say in my own case, I'm used to chaos because we had a very traumatic, you know, in some cases, a traumatic upbringing. So... You're used to chaos. You almost crave chaos. You'll
mm-hmm.
find it
yeah.
in everything. And when I kind of took a 10,000 square foot look above and I thought about all the incidences where I was like craving chaos,
mm-hmm.
whereas on the other side there was a way to do things with order and with peace and mindfulness, it would actually change things in a big, and that's what something that Pri taught me,
really?
Which is interesting, you know, just the you know, the this world is built like in this weird dichotomous way, you
mm-hmm.
know, good and evil, all the rest of it. You know, we have two hands. It's just weirdly built.
Balanced.
We're getting like real deep here.
Yeah.
It's like just how it's built. It's like this. There's always like these yin, like in China, Chinese like yin and yang. Like
yeah.
there's hot tech. Like there's all these different types of things, and so. Yeah, just understanding that a little bit about yourself and your practice and the things that you're doing, it helps to alleviate a lot of that chaos in some cases. And so, you know, when we feel certain ways and when we're, you know, living a life where we're kind of seeking that,
mm-hmm.
when we just gain a bit of perspective through things like, it can be things like yoga, meditation, it can be working out. Like, I have a friend that just, like, loves to lift weights and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is. It doesn't have to even be physical. It could be, well, for the most part, for most people, it's physical because...
it's like an outlet?
Yeah, like a little bit of an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the story of Buddha, actually?
No, I don't.
This is a really crazy story. I don't know why I'm talking about this stuff.
No, you gotta tell me now.
Yeah, okay, so... So Buddha was a prince, okay, and his father wanted him to have a perfect upbringing. So he wanted him to feel no pain, no suffering, nothing. So he lived in the most lavish castle. He was never let out of the walls. He only slept in silk robes and in beds, and he was given every the best food, the best everything. everything was perfect in his life. Nothing was imperfect. There was nothing at all. It was like he was living in a like fantasy realm. And he had a tutor, and this tutor like saw this kind of, but he was like the prince, he was Buddha, was becoming like kind of really spoiled and like really doesn't care about anything. It's like it's all just like
me.
And so kind of snuck the child out of the walls of the castle and showed him what the reality was of, you know, it was in India. The reality was in India's poverty, suffering, pain. And so he walks around and then he sees this, and prince cannot get it out of his mind. So Buddha does the opposite. So he escapes the castle, escapes being a prince, and he lives in this life of suffering. So he goes from one extreme to the extreme pleasure, comfort, security, to extreme suffering. So he goes through disease and boils, and he's just a wanderer, and he's a beggar. And basically, he lives that other side of the spectrum to see what would happen there. And, you know, he ends up, obviously, you know, just suffering a great deal, going through a lot of different things, and he's just wandering and traveling. And he sits under this tree, and he sits under the tree for 40 days of meditation, and he gains, like, this transcendent insight on, you know, life, like purpose, meaning. And he goes and obviously goes around and teaches some of this stuff, and obviously, you know, he falls ill and passes away, but it's just like a lesson about extremes and about, you know, I'm probably butchering the story. I don't know the full story, but I read it in a book, obviously. And just like kind of having that, you know, seeing both sides of, you know, the extreme and kind of living in the purpose and why we're living right now. So what do you think your purpose is?
My purpose? I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think I've ever been asked that or really thought about it. But I want to make a difference. I want to leave a legacy. I want to, you know, I don't want to, when my time is here, I don't want to just leave without having touched as many people's lives as I could. So I think that's a part of my purpose, and the rest is to be determined. I haven't figured that out yet.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do you want to do that?
I think kindness and loyalty and honesty goes a long way. So just by showing that to people, friends, whoever you come across, that would be a good start. To leaving your legacy, so that people remember you, you know, as someone who helped, someone who was friendly and always there for you.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a, I think there's so much distraction now, you know, in everything that we do, you know, whether it's, you know, classic realtor phone addiction or like whatever it is, there's all this distraction that kind of pulls us away from our purpose, you know. Even distractions like money's a bit of a distraction. There's a lot of different distractions, you know, and it pulls us away from our like genuine purpose and why we're, you know, why we're able to have the opportunities that we do have, right? And so, you know, I think about that a lot, you know.
Yeah, what's your purpose? What's your purpose?
You know, I've thought a lot about it. And I've thought a lot about, you know, like, why are we even here in this existence? Like, why are we on this floating rock in the middle of the Milky Way? And, you know, as like kind of a little, you know, it's such a tough thing, because it's like it kind of falls under a few things. So one is, you know, I'm a spiritual person. I want to be a good human being that serves other human beings very, very well. That is useful and is a good steward of things, that gifts and things that were given to me,
because
I think, you know, human beings have this ability to be able to craft their environments around them, and I want to create a great environment. I want to create, you know, heaven on earth, you know, so like whether that's through relationships or whether that's you know, through our, in our company or whatever that is, or with other people, that's something that I think about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just want to have a positive impact and create a lot of joy, because I think negativity, like just like joy and fear on two, you know, I think people, they're scared now, and I want them to be joyful,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be happy in their practice, in everything, in anything they're doing. And so I think that that's something that I care about a lot. And, you know, I care about this, I care about, you know, the agents that we work with here and the people that we have, because I want to create a great environment for our, like our young and predominantly female staff to be able to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's right now, that's kind of my big thing. And it's just focused on contributing to like those people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing that at different scales, you know, like Viv and I have had these types of conversations one-on-one,
yeah,
like dozens of times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then like,
we're so cheap.
Yeah. But you know, and now that we're able to do it on a bigger platform, maybe we can help a lot of different people.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe figure out their purpose or give them bravery, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Something that something that when I think about Viv, I think about the most is bravery. Is,
aw, thanks.
Yeah, you're so brave. Like every time you have this weird client you have to work with, you're just like, go for it. I'm gonna go for it.
Yeah.
And I remember like Viv used to do this. I don't know if she does this anymore.
What
but, like,
is it,
Mike? Embarrassing. So I'm just gonna. Viv used to post other people's listings on Craigslist to get phone calls from strangers in the middle of the night, and I would see her posts.
Yeah.
At like. They're all at like 1 a.m. Like, you know, because you can see that time of when you post it. And like, so Viv in the middle of the night would post other people's listings.
Yeah, office
like,
listings.
Call,
yeah.
Yeah, office listings.
Yeah.
Like, call Viv to see this listing.
Yeah.
And she would meet these like weirdos.
Yeah.
And like show these listings. And I was like, when I saw those things, because I would search on Craigslist, like, I would just, because I'm a freak, too, I'd be on the middle of the night, I'm like, you posted, like, another listing on Craigslist at 2 a.m.?
It's probably your listing that I posted.
Yeah. I'm like, this is great, because it, for me, like, as somebody, like, as a friend, and as somebody that, kind of, as an outside observer, it's kind of like when you see, like, the, you know, like, when you see, like, the young Michael Jordan, like, doing free throws by himself, like in the middle of the night at like 1 a.m. you see like this kid on the basketball court doing free throws, and it's like 1:30, everyone's asleep, and this person is in it. That's when you know that that person is going to be a champion, and that person will be able to go through so much and be able to be super successful.
Yeah.
And I knew that from day one, after I met you and I got to work with you closely, and you know, I believe in Viv so much. And so, and just her story and where, you know, she's come now, it's just pretty, like, it's pretty fantastic. It's pretty amazing. That's, you know, obviously one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on the pod, is because it's not easy. And, you know, Viv didn't come from, you know, I don't want to, she didn't come from shit. Like, she, you know, so like, she's like, she did everything on her own. She didn't have this gigantic network. She had mom and dad, like, feeding her clients and stuff like that. She found each one of them, you know, on her own. So that's pretty, you know, it's very exciting to see, and it's pretty amazing. So, you know, obviously, from if we were to like look at the last 5 years of the business and some of the like primary lessons that you learned, what would those be?
Primary lesson. Well, one really important one that I was reminded of very recently is that every deal, like I said before, is a learning lesson. So no matter how hard and no matter how, you know, how much headache that deal's causing you, and sleepless nights and anxiety and stress, you need to learn something out of it, and you need to extract something out of it, and you need to make sure that never happens again. So that was that is probably the one biggest thing I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to approach it, yes, you need to deal with it. You need to make sure your client comes out okay. You need to make sure the deal comes out okay. But you need to learn something from it to make sure that also never happens again.
So what's the process of you doing that? How do you reflect on it?
I don't know, it's like a sudden reflection just when I'm driving.
Okay.
And it's mostly when I'm in the middle of it, being like, you know what, I could have done this and this this better, mm-hmm. or I shouldn't have, you know, done this and this and this, or I should have let the lawyer know about this and this and this. Whatever it may be, it's more, it's an immediate self-reflection, being like, you know what, I could have done better. And this is how I could have done better, and mm-hmm. I will make sure to know that I will do better next time. And,
right.
you know, the same problem will never happen again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in every darkness, there's always positivity somewhere hidden.
Right.
Under a rock, maybe. But it's yeah. there, and you need to just extract that and go forward with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my biggest lesson.
Does that help? Do you think that helps you cope with failure?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think of that all the time because I have the same, I think the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And when I fail.
Yeah.
Because I can get down on myself, obviously.
Yeah,
I don't know
yeah.
about you, if you're like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can get down on myself and like, I am a loser. I don't deserve anything I have.
Okay, I don't say that.
I like look at myself in the mirror. I'm like, you're a loser. You're
Jesus
disgusting. And then like, you know, because it like, I don't know. It just, it's very, for me. And then like, but when I kind of flip the perspective, be like, these are just lessons for me to
yeah.
be able to do it better for the next time. I don't know why. I just feel like the world puts the same situation in front of you until you do something different.
It's true.
Is there anything?
Yeah, yeah. Like, have you seen those movies that replay their day? It's like, I don't remember what it is, but they
right.
wake up in the same day, same scenario.
Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
There was a comedy by Bill Murray.
they've
yeah.
got a few of those, actually,
right.
I think. But it's until you learn and until you do something differently, then the universe will kind of let you keep going and let
yeah.
you move on. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really funny, like, this is a weird kind of hippy-dippy way of thinking, so, but I'm just saying, I don't care.
Bree's gonna love this.
Oh, yeah, she, especially, you know, knowing Viv, she always wants to grow, she always wants to, like, you
yeah.
know, strive for more, and sometimes when it doesn't happen, think to yourself, like, what did I do wrong, and, you know, I've recently been thinking, like, you know, we're not ready for it. That's why it didn't come.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, like, what did I do wrong? I did all these things. I'm an idiot. Like, I'm a loser.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I just wasn't ready for it. And next time I will be ready for it, and
yeah.
then it'll come. And then I'll be able to handle it. So, like, when things don't go right with a sale, or things don't go right with the growth of our company, or anything
mm-hmm.
like that, I'm like, you know, we weren't ready for it, and that's why it's not here.
Yeah.
And taking that attitude for towards it, versus like, you know, well, I'm an idiot, I suck, and you know, this is all these external things are to blame for this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and not taking responsibility for
mm-hmm.
you know for things you're supposed to do. So like, I don't know, I find that happens a lot, where the same issue will come right into your face, and you gotta deal with it differently.
Yeah.
You do, it's just the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's pretty insightful stuff. So obviously, that's one of the like lessons. What else?
Another big one is, I guess, as corny as it sounds, but treasure the people that you have around you.
Right.
And always do right by them, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the many people that I've had around me, like
right.
you and Arlene and, you know, Charn and Sam and Ray. I wouldn't be here.
Mm.
And the first, I think, 50 Oakland agents are my friends and my mentors, and I'll never thank them enough for, you know, passing me free strata papers when I
right.
needed them and helping me analyze this. And even now I go into Robin's office
yeah.
and I ask him stuff, and he's like, no, this is how you should do it, or this is what I think, but check with different agents.
Right.
And then when I hired my assistant, I think I talked to everyone that has an assistant, including Morgan,
mm-hmm.
Ross, and know me, just treasure the people and the resource that you have around you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think that is so key,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to be, you know, to really honor and cherish those people, I
yeah.
think is such a key thing. And
yeah.
so,
and don't forget what they've done for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, this is like the culture right now is like a microwave culture. It's like, what have you done for me lately type of thing. And I find,
yeah.
You know, especially with a lot of, you know, not just, you know, a lot of relationships and stuff like that with people, they don't remember, like, No offense, I've had like some clients and people, other people are like, "Yeah, I'm divorcing my wife." I'm like, "Why?" I'm like, "Well, she let herself go." I'm like, "Didn't she like help me get from med school, dude?"
That is terrible.
Like, I'm just like,
let
no.
herself go.
Yeah, or whatever. Oh my God. Or whatever it is. So it doesn't have to be let herself go or whatever it is, And I was like, "Don't you remember what they did for you?" Like, and so, yeah, I think that's something that's, but that being said, it is, everyone has their own journey and their own life, and they get to live it how they like, right? But that community around you is important. Because I saw, like, I was creeping on your Instagram. I saw it was just your birthday, right? Yeah, that's great. So I don't know why I hate birthdays.
Do
Do
you?
you like your birthday?
I don't really care. It's just I don't feel older, I don't feel wiser, I don't feel anything.
I don't know if I said it on this pod before, but then like, because like, and this is being stolen from some of a comedy act or something like that. So
Okay.
like, you didn't do anything on your birthday. You don't deserve to be
Yeah.
celebrated. Like you're born. Like you didn't do anything. Like,
It's true.
yeah.
I remember my mom was like, they should really be celebrating
Exactly. Like they should be, that should be it. Like it should be your
Yeah.
mom that celebrated on your birthday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like so and this comedian says like you should have celebrated like your achievement day. Like what was the day you did something that you like you achieved?
Yeah.
And like that should be your what you celebrate, not just like arbitrarily your birthday.
Yeah.
So what do you what has been your biggest achievement, would you say?
My biggest achievement, I guess, in my career, it'd be getting my first medallion.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest achievement. And then I think my record of deals, that would be my second achievement. And waiting for my president's
So,
club.
yeah, just a Medallion Club is the top 10% of realtors in Greater Vancouver, and then President Club is the top 1%, which
Yeah.
Vivian will be in for sure, 100%.
Striving towards
Oh yeah.
you and Lee and
Well,
Morgan and everyone else in the office here.
yeah, 100%. You're gonna get there for sure, and I think like it's just a matter of time, and it's like doing the things that you're doing right now, like those experiments,
Yeah.
because obviously if you do the same thing over and over, you're gonna get the same result,
Yes.
right? So you need to make little. And it's never these huge, like 100, 180 changes to businesses that make
Yeah.
it. It's always these little
Tweaks and turns.
tweaks and
Yeah.
turns and pivots and shifts. So like 1 degree
Yeah.
this way or that way. And that's what kind of gets things going and opens up a new stream of income or what have you.
Yeah.
And so what are some of those pivots that you've taken in your business?
Little pivots. I don't know. There's just been so many that by now they're no longer pivots. They're just like, okay, gotta just try this.
Right.
I think I started, this is a very simple pivot, I guess, but I started being more consistent in my flyering. So
Right.
now every quarter I'll flyer Kerrysdale for sure. And today actually I got this call from this little lady in Kerrysdale.
Right.
And I can't send her any emails. I have to physically bring her printed copies of MLS listings for her to flip through and be like, okay, I want to see this one and I want to see this one.
Right.
And then I have to, help her into the car and to, walk her into, yeah, put her
Seatbelt
seatbelt
on.
on
Right.
and put her walk her into the back of my trunk. So like little pivots like that do get your results,
Right.
but just more consistently, a little bit slower, right? You don't get them right away. The last flyer I did was probably in December, and she had remembered and called me from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really funny, like, so a lot of agents here, some agents here, I do them, they have certain market areas, so they do research on a certain territory, 500 homes, 1,000 homes. They do research on how often that those are being bought and sold, and once they kind of secure an area where they think that it's worthwhile, then you would send flyers or marketing materials into that area
Yeah.
every few months, and you do that consistently.
Yeah.
And so there's some farm areas that I've been marketing for 10 years.
Yeah. You
And
do Chinatown,
yeah,
right?
I do
Yeah.
Chinatown, and
Richmond.
I do some in Richmond, I do some in East Van, Basically, I like to go where no one else wants to go.
Because, that is really smart.
Well, I don't know if it's smart, but I think it's half to do with my low self-esteem, because I'm like, because I see people like Morgan and Robin and yourself and Jordan. I'm like, I don't want to compete against you guys. I'm going to lose. So I just like go to where like it's easier. So
that is very smart.
So that's my my kind of go-to. So I kind of choose market areas that are, you know, not as congested with agents and more, but have a lot of transactions.
So I
focus on those. And then you do a consistent program. And I've met some sellers that I'll meet them and they open up a file, and the file has all my flyers in it. I have a Michael Yu file. And he goes, you've been sending me flyers for 10 years. I'm like, what? And so I think
awesome.
Jordan shadowed me on a listing presentation where the guy put out his file and he opened it up. I think I remember.
Really?
I get his name, Sam, or he was like a Persian guy. So yeah, so like it happens, and it's, you know, you never know. It's like you've been sending this guy flyers for 10 years, and of course he's gonna call you, and then he lists with us right away.
Yeah.
Well, we competed, but anyways. So. Like that kind of stuff does happen for sure. So so it's just, you know, being consistent there.
Yeah, so that was a little tweak and turn. I used to send flyers whenever I wanted, and now there's actual schedule.
Right. So I want to ask you a personal question, Viv.
Oh, as of this personal.
No, more personal.
Okay.
So you're in a relationship with someone that's in the business in real estate as another agent. He's in project marketing as well. What's that like?
It's honestly very, very good and very easy.
Okay.
Very simple.
Okay.
Because, I don't know why. I started off knowing exactly, you know, what to say here. But I don't know. We just get along very well. And
right.
We know that business is business.
Mm-hmm.
And he does project marketing. I do real estate. So project marketing deals with developers.
Right.
And then selling those projects to agents.
Yeah, in pre-sale.
Right. Yeah, in pre-sale. And then real estate agents deal with clients.
Yeah.
Consumers.
A little bit different. Yeah,
a little bit different. So you essentially don't have the same clientele.
Mm-hmm.
And our business is slightly different, therefore.
Yeah.
But there's always a lot of insight from his point, or me helping him a little bit with getting comparables or knowing exactly what my clients are looking for.
Right.
So it's been very just... It's been very complete. It's been very balanced. And
Been
very just easy. You know.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And plus we're not employed technically under anyone.
Right.
So it's been much easier that way.
Yeah.
There's no taboo, like can't be seen together.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're professional enough to know that, you know what, business is business and personal is personal.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
It's been good.
You know, my first few girlfriends were realtors.
Oh, that's a bad move.
Well, yeah, when I first got started, this is before we, you know, had a brokerage or anything like that. And I will never I'm with three, but like that was the worst. Like having that, like, because, you know, I'm working, you know, you're working like Viv, we'll work like 12, 14, 16 hours, like nothing, like and in a day. And then at home, you come home, the last thing you want to talk about is somebody's deal, right? And so that's, at least for me, I like to have that so separate.
Yeah.
And so like when I come home, if I'm hearing about a deal, that's the, I'm just like, ugh.
Like no more.
Yeah, no more. And so, so I kind of had a policy after, I think. So
the
like we were saying, like,
real estate.
I've had three girlfriends in real estate, three.
Yeah,
three. And so... So, like, you know how they say, you know, the things keep coming to you until you do something different? So, like, I had three of these, and I was just like, never again.
Yeah.
And after each one, I said never again. Happened three times, and then the last one, I was, you know, well, now it's just like, I'm never, like, never again will I... Actually, I don't even, like, for a relationship, I want someone that's totally different from me, that offers a unique opinion on life.
Yeah.
And so... I didn't know that, you know, and I thought I would think I was very, kind of like, oh, you gotta have like this certain type,
yeah.
a person, and this yeah. is the, my this is my type.
Yeah.
But it's like, professionally, we got to know her personally. So is there any kind of like last notes that you'd like to share with our huge community of listeners?
Now you, I don't.
Putting you on the spot.
I know, yeah. you really did. What do you, wait, what did the other agent share?
Sorry? The other agent shared, like, lots of different things, you know. You,
that doesn't help me.
they talked about some professional stuff, they talked about some life things, you know. Some, one agent really talked about health and putting that really at the forefront. And, you know,
that's
right,
true.
Yeah. I don't know, like, a lot of different things. So, yeah, it just depends.
Actually, I'm going to piggyback on the health thing. I really think that, especially as, you know, an agent or someone that is self-employed and works, or just generally works very hard,
mm-hmm.
you need to make sure you get your breaks in.
Right.
If you say you're going to take a day off, take that day off and make sure you don't look at your phone.
Yeah.
I think that is super important. And mm-hmm. I didn't, it's one of those things that you don't realize is that important, but in the end, it's going to come back and bite you a little bit here
yeah.
and there if you don't take that time off.
Well, take time off, have that balance. So, Viv, what's the best way people can get in touch with you?
With me?
Yeah.
Oh, so there's my phone, there's text, there's calls, there's emails, there is social media, there's Instagram, there's... I'm very easy to
yeah.
find.
So, Queen V, thank you so much for being part of the
thank
podcast.
Thank you so much.
So, for those of you that have liked this podcast, please do me a big favor. Rate it 5 stars and like and subscribe to the pod and write me a little comment and review. And I love seeing those reviews because I'm like, I need it to feel good about myself. So if you don't mind doing that, that'd be amazing. So until next time, thank you, Viv, for being part of the Michael U podcast.
Thank you so
okay,
much.
Okay, awesome.
Mike.
Thanks, guys. That was great.